The Church, in her wisdom, sets out weekly readings from the Gospels. These readings allow us to follow the life and teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ and the story of our salvation. Upper Room Media presents to you the weekly Sunday homily delivered from Sydney, Australia.
And my first term as a junior doctor was an emergency. I was in the emergency department, which is the scariest thing for a young doctor because you're taking care of emergencies and you have no idea what you're doing. And I remember the boss of the emergency department, he came and he sat us down, all of us new interns, and he said to us, you know the worst thing about you junior doctors? He said it with disgust. You know the worst thing about you guys? You can't make a choice. You can't make a decision. You can't treat anything. We tell you to do something, you can't do it. And me quivering, yeah, that's exactly right. I don't want to make a choice. I'm too scared to decide on anything. Because I don't know if it's right or wrong, if I'm going to do harm a patient. And he said to us, if you make a choice, whether you make a mistake or don't make a mistake, whether it's right or wrong, I will defend you. It will never come back to you. I will look after you. I will guarantee your choice. As long as you make a choice and you do it in this way. And he gave us a way to do it. And he said he would defend us. You know, to succeed in life, you have to make a choice and you have to stick to your choice. You have to make a firm decision and you have to stick to your decision. And the Bible is always demanding a choice from us. It's always demanding us to be decisive, to be clear, and for us to stick to our decision. So in the Old Testament, at the end of Joshua's life, Joshua the great leader, he collected all the people of Israel around him and he said to them, he told them about all the works of God, and then he said to them, just before he dies, he says, serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day who you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So there's a clear demand for a decision, for a choice. Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, God tells them, don't eat from that tree. And he leaves the tree in front of them. So he demands from them a choice. Eat or don't eat. But it's a demand. You have to make the choice. And the choice is incredibly important. In Jeremiah 21, God says, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death, and you choose. I set before you the way of life and the way of death, you choose. Christ in the New Testament, he says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So again, there's a choice, the narrow or the wide. Elijah, when he's fighting with the prophets of Baal about who is God, and he says to them, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. There's a demand for a choice. Everyone has to always make a choice. The Bible is clear over and over again that you have to make a choice. You choose God or you choose other, but the choice has to be made. And you will follow one or you will follow another. And today's gospel is the same. Today's gospel is the same. Christ is demanding a choice. He's saying that you can't be neutral. You have to pick one or you pick the other. So when they brought to him the deaf and mute man, and he healed him. There was no contention that he was healed and that Christ had power. No one argued about those two facts. The argument was about where did the power come from? Where did the power come from? They accuse him that you cast out demons by Beelzebub. So the power is from the devil. That's the accusation. Christ answers back and says, hold on, if a kingdom is divided against itself, it cannot stand. And the kingdom of the devil is still standing. Therefore, maybe, just maybe, it's the Spirit of God who has done this. And if the Spirit of God has done this, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So he's saying the power is from God. So there's a tension, there's a choice between the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. And there's a tension. And Christ is demanding a choice. And he says it in no uncertain language. It's very strong. He said, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. It's clear. Christ is demanding a choice. He's putting in front of them that either I am from God or I am from the devil. Choose to follow me or not. But you have to make a choice and you've got to stick to it. Because if you don't, then that's the unforgivable sin. That's the sin. If you think this is from the devil, if you choose always against God, then it cannot be forgiven. That's what he says. It's very strong language. He doesn't put it gently. He puts it very harshly. And so everything in this gospel is about a choice. St. Augustine says about this gospel, it is the most difficult but most important statement in the gospels. It's the most difficult but it's the most important. Because if I don't choose God, then Christ says, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. And that's that repetition of refusing to accept that Jesus is God, that the Spirit can forgive. It's very strong language. So today's gospel is demanding a choice. It's demanding a choice. And if you think about it, across history, all the saints have always made a choice and stuck to their choice. You'll never find a saint in the church that was not firm in their decision to follow God. You know, the 1920s, when communism took over Russia, they put a lot of Christians in prison. And so one priest was in prison. They put him in prison for about 5 years. And the reason for him being in prison was because he was praying liturgy. He prayed masses, so they put him in prison for 5 years. At the end of those 5 years, as they were releasing him, they said to him, "What are you going to do now that you're released? What's your intention now?" And all he had to do was say anything except liturgies, anything. But he said to them, "Look, I'm a priest. I'm going to pray liturgies." So they threw him back into prison for another 5 years. Imagine that kind of decision, that he's made a choice. I'm a priest. I will pray liturgies. I will follow God no matter what. So he went back into prison for another 5 years. His choice was God, and it was clear to him. You look at someone like St. Mary the Egyptian. St. Mary the Egyptian, she lived many years in immoral life. She made a lot of sexual mistakes. She's known to have done that type of mistake. But then when she could not enter the church, she was blocked from the church by some invisible barrier. She made a decision that day to commit herself to God. So she went to the desert and saw no one until the end of her life. And she committed her life to God for the rest of her life. St. Paul on the road to Damascus is the same. He made a clear decision to choose God. Christ appeared to him. He said, "Who are you, Lord? And what do you want me to do?" And he did it the rest of his life. He said, "You're an apostle to the Gentiles." He followed Christ to the Gentiles all the rest of his life. Amba Brahm, our patron saint. He made a decision from very young that he does not care about possessions. He will never chase possessions. He will throw it away, and he became a monk. The rest of his life, even as a bishop, he lived a very simple life. They say that the building that he lived in was smelly and dirty because he refused to have any possessions. His room had a bed and a chair, and that's it. He made a decision and he stuck to it all his life. He lived poorer than the poor because of that decision all his life. So today we have to make a decision. The gospel is asking us to make a decision. You either follow God or you don't follow God. And if you follow God, you stick to your decision. The first thing about my choice today is that I shouldn't be complicated about my choice. It's not a complicated decision. It's not a roundabout decision that I'm not really sure what God wants from me. You know, in Deuteronomy, Christ says it very clearly. God says it very clearly that the decision is simple. The problem is we choose not. He says, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far from you. It is not in heaven, nor is it beyond the sea. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I may set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." He's saying to them that you are complicating the decision. You say you want to follow God, but you complicate it and say you don't know how. But what he's saying is make the choice. The first step is make the choice. I want to follow. And God will show you what to do. And it's very clear what I should do. When Gideon, for example, chose to follow God, he didn't ask questions about how he's going to beat the multitude of Midianites. with 300 men? He didn't ask that question. But when the time came, he was following God, and it was clear to him that 300 men could beat a multitude of men. Even Alexander the Great did not think to himself. There was one of the battles that he won called the Battle of Issus, where he was outnumbered 2-1. Before he started his campaign to take over the world, he didn't ask questions about how's that battle going to go. What he did was he made a choice, I'm going to conquer the world. And then he stuck to his choice, he did not waver. The same for us. Make the choice to follow God and do not waver from your decision. The second thing is that the choice has to be today. It cannot be deferred. A firm decision in life always is something that is done on the spot. It's not something that's done later. To say I'm going to make the decision tomorrow, immediately means I'm wavering. I'm not yet sure about my decision. But to do it today means I'm sure. I'm not going to waver. It is my decision. So, for example, we are in the middle of a fast at the moment, and I'm not fasting. I make a decision that I'm going to fast. I choose to fast because God is my choice, not because of any other reason. I choose to wake up and attend the Mass early. Why? Because God is my choice. It's simple. I choose that this relationship that is destroying me, I let it go, no matter how difficult it is. Why? Because God is my choice. When it's too difficult and I'm too tired to pray, that I stand up and I pray. I wake up early, I stay up late, I pray. Why? Because God is my choice. When I stand up to serve God and it's difficult, the service is difficult, I continue. Why? Because God is my choice. If I'm too scared to go to confession or I'm hesitant, I make the decision today that I'm going to have confession. I'm going to wipe away my sin. Why? Because God is my choice. If that is my choice, it changes everything in my life. It changes all the way I spend time with people, the way I talk, the way I live, the way I make decisions. If God is my choice. So today, God is demanding a choice. Christ is demanding a choice. Choice of evil, Satan, death, divided kingdom, or the choice of God, good, and His kingdom. The choice is simple, but it has to be made today. Glory be to God forever.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.